Amen. How many is happy to be in the presence of the Lord this morning? That was a little weak. Let's try it again. How many is happy to be in the presence of the Lord this morning? How many got a full 8 hours of sleep? Raise your hand if you got a full 8 hours of sleep. 8 hours. Nobody? All right, what about six? Anybody got six? Anybody get a full 6 hours of sleep? All right. What about five? Anybody get a full five? Okay, we got a few. All right. What about four? Anybody get 4 hours of sleep? All right. Okay. Well, then most of you guys should be able to function for the most part of this morning. So let's just try and bear with us. I want to thank Brother Goodwin for the opportunity to be here. I've actually only ever been to one truth retreat in my life back in 2012, so wasn't even really sure how these things gone, but I've enjoyed the presence of the Lord that we felt last night, enjoyed the word that Brother Jacob had. Wasn't that a good word last night? Why don't you give the man of God one more hand clap? Amen. I want to say thank you to Brother Goodwin, Brother Lucas, for everything you guys do to put this on. Can you guys give them one hand? Let's put our hands together for them, everything that they do to work here. If you have your Bibles, turn to the book of Samuel, 1 Samuel chapter number 14. 1 Samuel chapter number 14. Amen. Such an honor and a privilege to be able to share the word this morning. I'm going to do the best that I can to just preach what the Lord's laid on my heart, and I'm going to get out of the way and let Brother Sean come. Excited to hear what the Lord has to say. But if you guys, 1 Samuel chapter number 14, if you would stand for the reading of God's word, we're going to read just a few verses, starting at verse number 6. 1 Samuel 14, starting at verse number 6, the Bible says, "And Jonathan said to the young man that bare his armor, Come, and let us go over unto the garrison of the uncircumcised. It may be that the Lord will work for us." I want you to recognize what he said there. It may be that the Lord, it might possibly be that the Lord will work for us. For there is no restraint of the Lord to save by many or by few. And his armor bearer said unto him, "Do all that is in thine heart. Turn thee, behold, I am with thee according to thine heart." Then said Jonathan, "Behold, we will pass over unto these men, and we will discover ourselves unto them." We're going to show ourselves. I don't know about you, but that doesn't look like very good battle strategy to me. "If they say thus unto us, Tarry until we come to you, then we will stand still in our place, and we will not go up unto them. But if they say thus, Come up unto us, then we will go up, for the Lord hath delivered them into our hand, and this shall be a sign unto us." I'm going to stop right there. This has got to be probably one of the worst battle strategies I've ever seen in my life. I've read a lot of battles people going into battles, but this has got to be one of the worst battle strategies I've ever seen in the Bible. Let's go and show ourselves unto them, and then with us two versus the thousands, let's just see if they'll want to fight us. And if they do, we'll go and the Lord delivers them. It don't make much sense. What Brother Jacob was preaching on last night, it doesn't look. What I'm hearing doesn't add up to what I'm looking, what I'm seeing. Well, what I'm feeling in my spirit doesn't add up to the numbers that I'm seeing in front of me. But let's read on. He said, "And both of them discovered themselves under the garrison of the Philistines. And the Philistines said, Behold, the Hebrews come forth out of the holes where they hid themselves. And the men of the garrison answered Jonathan and his armor bearer and said, Come up to us, and we will show you a thing. And Jonathan said unto his armor bearer, Come up after me, for the Lord hath delivered them into the hand of Israel. And Jonathan climbed up upon his hands and upon his feet, and his armor bearer after him, and they fell before Jonathan, and his armor bearer slew after him. And that first slaughter which Jonathan and his armor bearer made was about 20 men within, and it were an half acre of land, which a yoke of oxen might plow. Amen. If you'd stretch your hands towards heaven one more time and ask God to be with us. Father, I thank you for the Spirit of God that we feel in this place this morning. God, I pray that you take your anointing off of your altar and place it upon these lips of clay. God, I pray that you'd anoint me to preach the word that you'd have for us this morning. God, anoint every part of this service. Anoint the preaching, God. Anoint the ministry. But most of all, I pray that you'd anoint these altars. Lord, that whenever a young person hits these altars, that you would do a divine work in the name of Jesus. We claim deliverance in the name of Jesus. God, I claim that you would do your will and everything that you would have your will in this service this morning. In your precious name we pray. Everybody said amen. You can be seated, but don't fall asleep on me. Amen. I'm just going to jump right into the message because we got a short amount of time and we got a lot to get in a short amount of time, but we're going to get there. Amen. The Bible says, you've seen the story. Jonathan and his armor bearer, just give you a background of the story. The Philistines have made camp on the enemy, on Israel's territory, and they've taken over a half acre of land. And the Bible says that Saul was hiding underneath the pomegranate tree, and the rest of all the army was hiding in the caves and in the holes. But something rose up inside of Jonathan, and he looked over at his armor bearer, and he says, "Hey, I got an idea. Let's go pick a fight. And maybe God will show up. Let's go over and pick a fight with the enemy. And maybe God will show up and work on our behalf." You see, they were just two young men going after a half acre land. It didn't matter that one of them was a prince and the other was an armor bearer. Because when we get ready for God to move in our lives, titles and positions go out the door. Come on, somebody. I'm going to say that again. When we get ready, when God gets ready to pour out his Spirit upon all flesh, it doesn't. He says, "I'll move on a 12-year-old just as much as I'll move on the pastor. I'll move on the youth member just as much as I'll move on the evangelist." Because when we get ready for God to pour out his Spirit and pour himself upon us, it doesn't matter the age, it doesn't matter the position. God says, "I'm just looking for somebody that's willing to do the will of God in their lives." Glory to God. Now, don't take this. Don't take me wrong. Don't you go back to your home church and say, "Well, Brother Stephen said, pastors don't matter." Don't go say that. That's going to get back to my pastor and I'll be out of a job. But what I'm saying is that we got to get out of the mentality that I'm not a pastor. I can't do nothing. I'm not a preacher. I'm not called to preach. I can't do a work for God. Ready for this one? I'm not called into the ministry. God can't use me. That's about every excuse that I've ever heard out of every young person. "Well, I'm not a preacher. Well, God, I'm not called into full-time ministry." But this right here ought to let you know there's an armor bearer that's slaying right next to a prince of Israel. Is that God will use anybody that is able to say, "Lord, whatever it is, let the will of God be done in my life." Glory to God. The Bible says that the Philistines had 3,000 chariots, 6,000 horsemen, and foot soldiers too many to number. So the Bible just said, as the sands of the sea. Glory to God. 6,000 chariots. 6,000 chariots and 3,000 horsemen. Foot soldiers, as many as the sea. You know what I come to the conclusion? Jonathan was a fanatic. Jonathan was a straight up fanatic. Because in order to charge into an army of that size on a maybe, that man has got to be a fanatic. But you know what I found out? It's easier to restrain a fanatic than it is to revive a corpse. It's easier to try to hold somebody back and say, listen, I'd rather have a young person that I said, "Hey, this is the line. You can't cross it." I'd rather have to pull you back a little bit than to come over here and try and raise somebody up from the dead. I'd rather deal with the fanatic than I would somebody that's just sitting by letting the Holy Ghost pass on by every service. But I come to Truth Retreat 2019 looking for some young people that says, "I'll get out when the Spirit's moving. I'll get out when the voice of God calls. I'm ready to do a work for God." You know, if I'm fighting in a battle and there's a fanatic on the battlefield, I want him fighting on my side. If there's a fanatic on the battlefield, I want that guy fighting on my side, because there's no telling what's going to happen. You see, Saul said it's time to sit back.
But Jonathan jumped up and said, no, Daddy, it's time to take back. We've been sitting back long enough while the enemy gains ground. But I come to tell some young people, it's time to get up and take back what belongs to us. It's time to get up and fight again. It's time to get up and take back. Glory to God. The Bible says, my Bible tells me that one can put 1,000 to flight, if I can get this coat off. Bible says, thank you, brother, that one can put 1,000 to flight, but two can put 10,000 to flight. Oh, you didn't hear what the Bible just said. One can put 1,000 to flight, and two can put 10,000. Can you imagine what would happen if every youth group here would go back home with the mentality, I'm going back to my church, and I'm putting every devil that's been fighting against my family, every devil that's been fighting against my youth group, every devil that's been fighting against my ministry, I'm here to put the devil to flight. I'm here to put the enemy in his place. Glory to God. Can you imagine what would happen? I wish we had just a few young people that would grab somebody from their church and say, hey, we're going home and we're going to put every devil that's been fighting us. We've been fighting hell back home, but it's time to let the enemy know enough is enough. I'm coming back for what belongs to me. I'm here to put every devil to flight. You guys don't realize the power that you have. You don't realize the authority that lies within you when you're full of the Holy Ghost and you march onto that battleground and you look the enemy in the eye and say, listen, you've been after us long enough. You've hindered the move of God long enough. You've been attacking my family long enough. You've been infiltrating my youth group long enough. But I'm here to proclaim to all of hell, I'm taking back what belongs to me. I'm here to fight a battle. Glory to God. I'm here to take back what belongs to me. Glory to God. Jonathan said, if they call us to come up, if they call us to come up, well, of course they're going to call you. There's two of you and over dozens of them in that half-acre lot. Of course they're going to call you. That's like saying, if I drop this piece of paper and it hits the floor, it's the will of God, we're going to go. That's basically the terminology he's using. If I drop this piece of paper, Armor Bear, and it hits the ground, that's the will of God, we're going to fight. I tell you what, see, that's what Jonathan said. But what we do is we wait around with our hands in our pockets, and we're waiting for the clouds to open up and an audible booming voice from heaven carried down by a host of angels right to where I'm at to say, thus saith the Lord. And then we look at it and say, all right, God, I heard you, but now I just need some confirmation. That's what we're waiting on. But I tell you what we need is some more Jonathan that'll go overboard for a miracle. We got enough people waiting on the sidelines, waiting for a divine action from the Lord. But what we need is some, excuse my terminology, but what we need is some more fanatics that'll walk out on the battlefield and say, I'm going overboard for a miracle. I'm going overboard for my deliverance. I'm going overboard for my breakthrough. I come to get what belongs to me. Glory to God. Hallelujah. The Bible says that Jonathan, you see, Saul looked at it and seen no way of defeat. But Jonathan looked at it and seen a divine opportunity for the Lord to show up and make a way. You see, Jonathan knew God can't help himself but to show up and show off. Did you guys know that about your God? He loves showing off. You don't think he does? Read the Bible. He loves popping up in impossible situations. He can't help himself. He seriously can't. He can't help himself. And Jonathan knew that about his God. Listen, when you get confident about the God that's backing you up, I said, when you get confident about the God that's backing me up, it doesn't matter whether it's 6,000 or 60,000 chariots standing in front of me. I know in whom I have believed. I know where my faith is. I know where my help comes from. My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. I know who's backing me up. Glory to God. Saul looked up. I'm trying to rush through this. Saul looked up and seen an entire army fleeing. An entire army on the run. And right behind him was two wild-eyed young men with a fire in their eyes, two fanatics chasing them over the hill. Glory to God. Woo! If that don't excite you, I don't know what does. But Saul looked up and see two wild-eyed young men chasing back the forces of the enemy. It caused such a disruption that the backsliders got up and started fighting again. You ain't feeling what I'm feeling. I'm feeling pretty good up here. The Bible says that when they saw that they were prevailing, that every soldier that was sitting and hiding came up out of the holes and began to chase the enemy. Listen, why don't you be the reason that somebody else gets up and fights again? Why don't you be the reason that somebody else gets up and says, I know I've been fighting hell for weeks, but I saw Brother Jackson get up and fight again. I believe I'll get up and fight my devils too. I come to let somebody know the battle's not over. It's just begun. It's your time to take back. It's your time for victory. I had a young person, a young man, that wanted to go to a conference with me. Back when I was evangelizing full time. So I took him with me. His pastor told me, asked me if he could go. I said, yes, sir, he can. He said, he's hungry for God. We went, was preaching at a conference. We had a mighty move of God in that conference. That young man got baptized in the Holy Ghost. And he didn't just get baptized. That man got baptized. I mean, he was a completely different person. After that week was over, I took him back to his church, and I dropped him off. And about 2 days later, I got a call from the pastor. Said, what did you do to him? This ain't the same young man that just left. About 3 weeks later, they called me back, and they said, whatever it was that happened to him, every single young person in our youth group has got the same thing. You know what it was? There was a Jonathan that rose up and said, I'm gonna start fighting again. And when he did, everybody around him said, I'll get up, and I'm going to fight for my family. I'm going to fight for my youth group. I'm going to fight for my... Shut up. I wish somebody would let the Holy Ghost rise up inside of you and say, I'm going to fight again. You realize the difference that one person, you see, you think, I'm just one person. I'm just one amongst so many. But like I said, when you get confident, when you have confidence in the God that's behind you, you'll have confidence at the Christ that's in you. When you know who's backing me up, and I know who lives inside, I may be just one, but Brother Dustin, you're going to see this one multiply. I'm going to go forth, and I'm going to sow seeds, and before you know it, I'm going to have an entire army behind me, an entire army of Holy Ghost-filled young people that's ready to take my city. I'm ready to take back what belongs to me. Glory to God, I got to move on. Jonathan said, it may be. It may be. In other words, let's go over and pick a fight. Maybe God will show up. Whew. I guarantee you we'd have a lot more battles won if we had more people with that attitude. Let's go over and pick a fight with the enemy. Maybe God will show up and work on our behalves. Glory to God. You see, when did we ever get the idea? Jesus. When did we ever get the idea that the will of God's always going to be safe? When did we get that idea? I don't get that from reading this Bible. You want to know where the will of God took these men and women of God? It took them from prison cell, to shipwrecked, to whippings, to beatings, all the way through. It wasn't comfortable. It wasn't safe, but they got confident in what was inside of them. And they said, look, it may not be safe, but it's worth it. It may not be safe, but it's worth it. If you could just put a value on the battle that's in front of you, what it's going to cost ain't going to matter, because whatever it is that I have to pay, it's worth it for the battle that I'm fighting. Church, there's souls on the line. There's a world that's lost and dying. It's worth the price. Glory to God. He didn't call us to be safe. He didn't call us to be comfortable. He didn't call us to be ordinary. But he called you to be bold and courageous and to go out and fight with all that you have. Glory to God. Anybody in here like football? Raise your hand if you like football. I know all the guys that were playing last night, they're all probably sore. I'm sore too. I got out there. One of the tackles that I made, about three guys fell on top of me. I got up, I hit my ankle, I got up just shaking it off like this. One of my friends screamed at me, said, remember, you got to preach tomorrow. Say, you're right. So I got up and walked off the field, said, I probably don't need to get hurt before I preach. But football, a lot of people argue that it's all about the defense, and this is true. You see, defense is important. And we've got a church that's been on defense for a long time. Come on, somebody. We've been on defense. We've been playing defense for a long time. But I've never heard of a game being won without somebody scoring on the offense. I've never heard of a game that was won without somebody saying, you know what, we're moving out from the defensive line and we're going to push back the line until I get to the end zone. Listen, I felt this in my spirit. It's time for the church to get off the defensive line and start pushing back the forces of hell that is on our streets, that's on our churches, that's on our families. It's time to get up and fight with all that we have. Glory to God. Bible says when it was over with, that they wrestled, they fought. And the Bible says when the dust was clear, Bible says that it was a half acre of land. All of this fight for just half an acre? You telling me you went out there and fought all those men, risking your life, Jonathan, for just half of an acre? Forget how much half an acre is worth, but it's in the range back then of our few dollars, what it's worth, pennies, just a little bit. I can hear the feedback Jonathan must have got. Jonathan, that's a little reckless, don't you think? That's a lot of fighting, risking your life for just half an acre. It ain't worth that much. Brother Jackson, it ain't worth that much. It ain't worth a whole lot. Jonathan probably looked at him and said, yeah, I know, boys. I know it's not worth a lot. I know it doesn't mean a whole lot. It's just a half acre. But it's mine. It's just a half an acre. But it's my half acre. I know it's not worth a lot. But the value still belongs to me. You see, to Jonathan, it didn't matter if it was half an acre or half a foot. If God said that it's mine, the enemy ain't keeping it. If the word of God says that it belongs to me, the enemy can't have it. I don't care what forces I'm going to have to fight. It's mine. It belongs to me. I come to tell some young people at Truth Retreat 2019, it's time to get up and fight for what God says is yours. It's time to get. I know it's a fight. I know it's a struggle, but it's mine. It belongs to me, and I refuse to let the enemy take back what belongs to me. I know it's not worth a lot, Brother Lucas. It's just half an acre. But that's a half acre God gave to me. And I'll fight 1,000 Philistines if I got to. You thought 20 was bad. Wait till you see what round number 2 has. If there's even a square inch of that property that God says is mine, I'm picking back up my sword and I'm going back to fight, because I refuse to let the enemy have 1 inch of what God says belongs to me. Glory to God. Glory to God. The Bible says, listen, God, the one thing about this passage is you never hear one word from God. You don't hear a word from God this entire passage. God didn't tell Jonathan to go forth and you'll recover all. There's not a word of that. God never gave Jonathan permission. Jonathan didn't even get his daddy's permission. In fact, the Bible says he went and he told not Saul. He told not his father. I don't have time to preach on that. Listen, young people, when God starts dealing stuff with you on what to do, and God starts birthing a move inside of you, be careful who you tell. Be careful who you tell. Because there you can tell the right idea and the right goal to the wrong person, and that right idea will die before it ever gets a chance to conceive and give birth because you told the wrong person. Be careful who you tell what God puts on you. I know they might be your best friend, but be careful who you tell. If they're not going to look at the armor bearer and say, go on and do all that's in your heart, we're behind you, then don't tell them. Don't even let them in on it. Because what your goal and what that dream that God gave you is more valuable than any friendship, is more valuable than anything else. Don't compromise what God gave you. I don't have time to preach on that. But the Bible says that Jonathan went forward, not a word from God. Didn't even get his permission. You want to know why? Because you don't have to wait for God to give you permission to take back what's already yours. You don't have to wait for God to say, go ahead, I give you permission, and I give you the victory. Jonathan didn't need a word from God. Jonathan just recognized, hey, that's my land. That's my half acre. I ain't got to wait for permission. I just got to go forth, and if God said it's mine, I ain't got to wait for permission. I'm here to take back what God says belongs to me. This is what I came to Truth Retreat 2019 to tell you that God put on my heart is a lot of you have been waiting for God to give you permission to take back what the devil stole from you. And it ain't going to happen. It ain't going to happen. Because if the word of God says it's yours, there ain't enough devils in hell to stop me from taking back what's mine. Some young people here this morning, and I'm closing. We're going to turn this back over to Brother Lucas, but there's some young people here this morning that you say, Brother Stephen, there's some ground that I've lost. There's some territory that I've let the enemy sneak in and take back. And you've been waiting on a word from God that says, go forth. Listen, this is it. Right here. This is it. If it's yours, you can take it back. You ain't hearing what I'm saying. If it belongs to you, you don't have to get permission from heaven, and you sure don't have to get permission from the devil. All you got to do is wake up one day and say, you know what? I want my stuff back. I want back what belongs to me. I wish I had just a few young people that would get this in your spirit. I'm going back to my church and I'm taking back what belongs to me. I'm taking back what God says is mine. Glory to God. Verse number 12, I believe it is. Jonathan spoke to me. He said, come up after me, for God hath delivered them into the hand of Israel. How are you going to speak in past tense about a battle you ain't even fought yet? How are you going to speak in past tense? He's speaking in past tense. The Lord hath delivered. That means he's already done it. And he ain't even swung a sword yet. See, if you got that, you'd realize that before you ever picked up a sword, you've already won. Woo! You don't have to go back to your church and fight for it. All you got to do is go back and say, this is the word of God. I'm standing on it. And everything that belongs to me is coming back in the name of Jesus. I'm taking back everything that belongs to me. The battle is already won. Because if God says it's mine, there's not enough devils in hell to stop me from taking back what belongs to me. Listen, young people, you don't have to get permission. You don't have to have a title. You don't have to have a permission. You don't have to have a standing. It doesn't matter what your last name is. It doesn't matter where you came from. It doesn't matter if you're the pastor's son or if you're not. It doesn't matter if you're the deacon's daughter or if you're not. It doesn't matter where you're at. If the word of God says it, then believe it. If the word of God says it, then you can stand on it and know that everything that this word says belongs to me. I'm standing on the faith of the word of God. I'm refusing to believe what I see, but I believe what I hear, and what I hear is take back. The battle is yours. Take it back. The battle is already yours. Glory to
God. Praise the Lord. Thank you. Yes, sir. Appreciate you, sir. Amen. Praise the Lord. Isn't God good this morning? Amen. Amen. I realize that it's, like Brother Stephen said, very, very little sleep last night. Amen. But I didn't come to bore you. I for sure didn't come to entertain you. Amen. But I do want to. I want to just give you a word today, and I'm gonna do my very best. I've never been known as a short-winded preacher, but the last 6 months I have taken her back a little bit. Amen. I guess I don't know, Brother Goodwin. I guess you start learning after a while. You got to taper them off, and when the drool starts coming down their mouth, you about time to call an altar call. Amen. But y'all bear with us this morning. You're not going to offend me if you need to stand up and stretch. Amen. I want to tell somebody, amen, that I really want to encourage the young people this morning. I'd like to encourage every ear this morning. I don't care if you're over 50 or if you're under 18. I've got a word for somebody, and I hope and pray that it's an encouraging word for you. But last week, we had spent the weekend with the Brother Jacob and Sister Carolyn Smith and preached over at their church. And as we was coming home, I was driving up Interstate 45, and I travel or have traveled quite extensively through my career, or whatever you want to call it. And not that I'm the greatest driver in the world, but I know how to operate a vehicle. I'm pretty decent at it, you know, and I say that and I'll wreck the bus tonight. But what I'm saying is, as I was driving down the road, and Brother Goodwin, for just a quick moment, I got my eyes kind of on the front of the vehicle instead of looking all the way up forward, amen? And as I did that, I don't even know if my wife noticed, but all of a sudden, amen, the traffic started slowing up and the red light started, and I looked up just in time to start maneuvering, amen, and I felt the Holy Ghost of heaven quicken my spirit at that moment and said, don't miss the big picture, amen, and I haven't got it off my heart, amen. I'm telling somebody today, amen, I don't know where you're at. I don't know what you're going through. Sister Lori, can I tell you something? Don't miss the big picture. God's got something much greater than where you're at the moment.
God, I feel good now. I need my helper, amen. Come on, I don't tell you something. I don't see how y'all operate. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hands who haven't been filled with the Holy Ghost, but can I tell you something? I wouldn't have got out of the motel room this morning without my whole helping. Hey, I wouldn't have got out of the motel room without the Holy Ghost. I love it when he just starts to move, amen. Pray. If you got your Bibles, my goodness, I always get carried away. Amen. We're going to look at Genesis chapter 37. And we're going to drop down to chapter 42. Just going to read about four scriptures to you. I want to just deliver this and get out of the way. Praise the Lord. When you get it, go ahead and stand. Praise the Lord. We're talking about Joseph this morning. Genesis 37 and verse 5. And Joseph dreamed a dream, and he told it his brethren, and they hated him yet the more. Verse 6, and he said unto them, hear, I pray you, this dream which I had dreamed. Brother Stephen, he might not should have told them, amen. He might should have just left that alone, amen. But he had a boldness about him, amen. He might maybe a little naive at the time. Drop down to verse 42 and verse 6. Chapter 42, verse 6. And Joseph was the governor of the land, and he it was that sold to all the people of the land. And Joseph's brethren came and bowed themselves before him with their faces to the earth. At that moment, you need the Holy Ghost. Because my head would just start, yeah, I told you I was going to do it. Amen.
Come on, verse 9. And Joseph remembered the dreams which he dreamed of them. Y'all help me pray today, Father. God, with all my heart, Lord, I'm nothing without you. I realize, God, who I am. And God, I also realize that who I am in you. God, I realize on my own, God, there's nothing good that we can accomplish. Oh, but God, if you'll anoint me, but for a few minutes, God, I believe, God, I know you've given me a word from the Lord. And I pray today, God, that somebody, God, if it's just one today, Lord, would receive this word, God, and understand that you're a God that loves them, that you're a God that cares, and you're a God that has not forsaken or forgotten them in their situation. God, I pray that you'll move in these altars in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. You can be seated. Amen. Reach over and slap somebody. Tell them to wake up. Amen. Amen. Don't miss the big picture. Amen. I'm going to tell you something. When you went with your little school backpack on first day of kindergarten, amen, you didn't quite understand what you were stepping into, but mama and daddy dressed you up. Amen. They put that little Barbie backpack, G.I. Joe, whatever it was, and they put you on the school bus or walked you into the door. Amen. Mama and daddy, amen, they had a bigger picture in mind. Amen, they was walking you in as a five-year-old, but somewhere down inside their mind, amen, they was already looking to the day, amen. The reason I'm taking you is because one of these days I'm going to see you walk across a stage. Amen, I'm going to see, amen, and they saw this bigger picture. They saw this grander picture. We know the story about Joseph. Amen, we learned it in Sunday school. Amen, but this young man, he had a dream. Amen, he had something. And they got a hold of his heart, and he was just bold and brazen enough to tell his brothers that he didn't even mind telling them that hey guys, you know what? I had this dream the other day, and you're not going to believe this, but y'all are going to be bowing down to me pretty soon. Amen. Come on. That'd be like a 16-year-old walking up to the pastor and I had a dream. You ain't going to believe this, but I'm coming after your job. You ain't going to believe this, but this is my church. Make sure you vacuum your floors, amen, because I want it. When I walk up in here, amen, I'm going to take over pretty soon, amen. And I want you to know something. At that moment, that little 16-year-old preacher, amen, though he may have a dream, amen, though he may have a calling on his life, guess what, Bubba? You ain't ready just yet, amen. You ain't there just yet. And Joseph, he was just audacious enough, amen. Maybe a little cocky. Is we have any cocky 17-year-olds in the house? Amen. I see somebody poking somebody. What about the young ladies? Cocky 15-year-olds. I don't care. Amen. Cocky 16-year-olds. Okay. Well, I know there's some of you in here that just has enough spunk about you. Amen. You know what? And I'm not telling you that's a bad thing. What did we just hear from brother a while ago? Come on, he said, you know what? He said, I'm not going to ask God's permission. I'm just going to go and tell you. God called me to preach, amen? I'm just going to go and tell you. God's got a work for me to do, amen? And can I tell you something right now, amen, that from the beginning of your dream unto the fulfillment of it, amen, Joseph had no idea what he was about to step into, amen? He ain't had a clue, amen? He thought for sure, amen, maybe I'll take some Bible classes. Maybe I'll go to OBI. Maybe I'll start and go to the school you're starting there, brother. Brother Stephen, I'll go sit under you for a little while, and after that, I'm just going to be charging, amen. I'm going to charge hell with a squirt gun. I'm going to do it, amen. And can I tell you something this morning? That if you got a calling of God on your life, amen, you just better believe you can. Amen. Can I tell somebody this morning that if you have got a call on God, from God on your life, amen, that you can look at it with that mentality. But I have come to tell you, amen, I believe there are people, I know there's somebody in this room today that has felt, amen, that calling on their life. I wouldn't ask you to raise your hand, but I guarantee you there are some people in this room, maybe at church camp, maybe at Sunday school, somewhere God has begun to deal with you and you've accepted it. Last week, I had a lady talk to me, or a younger lady. I'm not going to reveal her name, but she come and talked to me and my wife, and she said, a year ago at Truth Camp, Brother Goodwin, I surrendered to the call. I done made up my mind. I was preaching this. I just felt like God saying, cha-ching, it's confirmation, amen. And she said, a year ago, I surrendered unto this call, Brother Dustin. And she said, I feel like I'm going to preach this gospel. And she said, I know I've got to grow. I know I've got to learn. And she's making preparation to do that. But she said, ever since I said, God, I'm yours and I'm going to go for you. Amen, Brother Goodwin. Ever since I've done that, she said, I have done nothing but fight the devil. She said, what's wrong with me?
I just got a big smile on my face. I said, darling, you're just doing the will of God. And I said, I'm no pro at this either. Come on. Come on, I have to get advice from some of you men in here myself. Lord, what do I do next? Amen. But can I tell you something? This young lady, she was bothered, amen, by the fact, amen, that you know what? When you're fighting hell, sometimes you don't feel like shouting. Amen. When you're trying to do the will of God, are y'all falling asleep on me? Don't fall asleep. Amen. I'm trying to encourage somebody. Amen. She said, I don't know exactly what to do. I said, you know what? I said, can you remember when God called you? She said, yes. I said, do you remember? I said, was it real? She said, yes. Amen. I said, could you take me back to the place? And she said, yes. Amen. And I said, then you know what you need to do? You need to stand on the word of God and just keep on charging. Amen. Keep on believing. Keep on knowing that I've got a call of God on my life. And when you go through that valley, amen, when you go through, I'm going to tell you something right now. I don't know why I made notes. It don't do a bit of good. Amen. I'm going to tell you what happened to a man that was called. I'm going to tell you. Come on, between the dream and the fulfillment, he was mocked. Come on. He was betrayed. He was captured. He was enslaved. And he was tempted. Ooh, I'd get you. He was falsely accused. And he was imprisoned. Amen. Amen. I'm going to tell you right now. Amen. When you tell, I don't care. You may have a family member. You may have a friend. Amen. What you got to understand when you accept, amen, walking for the Lord. I'm not even talking about preaching or being a missionary. I may be talking to somebody that just says, I have given my all to Jesus. I have made up my mind that I'm going all the way. Church, amen. Ain't everybody going to pray a preacher. Because if it's all up here, who are we going to preach to? Amen. But God is looking for young people and mamas and daddies and grandmas and grandpas and deacons. Amen. And Sunday school teachers. Amen. And youth leaders, school bus drivers. Amen. He's looking for somebody that'll go work 40 hours a week at the mill and still be there on Wednesday night. Amen. Still showing the family. Amen. Still looking for young people that will stand against the tide of sin. And when you go and you make that declaration, you will be surprised. You'll be surprised. Brother, if I serve God, amen, I don't know what I'm going to do with my friends. You serve God, you ain't going to have to worry about those ungodly friends. Guess what? You ain't got to forsake them. They'll forsake you. Joseph says, hey, brothers, I've got a dream. Look, God's calling me. Old daddy's been telling me about great-grandpa Abraham. I'm so stirred up over there. Reuben, can I just tell you what God's going to do in my life? And Reuben says, shut up, you pipsqueak, amen. You done got me in trouble, amen. Simeon, come here. Let me just tell you what God has done. Let me just tell you what he's doing in my life. And you're going to testify to some people, and they're going to get their knife out, and they're going to stab you in the back, amen. Everything they can do to you, they're going to do it, amen. And they're going to try their very best to stop the will of God for your life. Am I making any sense? Come on. I've only been going. I've got my little timer because I don't want to wear y'all out. I'm going 10 minutes yet, so we're all right. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. But I'm going to tell you something about a boy named Joseph. He had his heart fixed. Come on. I'm going somewhere. Do y'all remember, do y'all ever sing that old hymn in church years ago? Amen. A lot of churches don't even sing hymns anymore, but I just typed it down, copy and pasted it. But there was an old song that says, my heart is fixed, O God, on thee. My eyes are now on things above. From worldly yokes, praise God, I'm free. I'm running o'er with joy and love. But there's a verse there, amen, I think the third verse of that song says, my heart is fixed, my face is set upon the prize that lies before. All other claims I will reject. Amen. My heart is fixed forevermore. Amen. I'm going to tell you that Reuben didn't have the call. Amen. Reuben couldn't do it. Amen. Can I tell you something? That Zebulun didn't have what it took. Amen. Can I tell you that Naphtali, he didn't have the call of God. But there was a boy named Joseph. Amen. That stepped close to his daddy. And he heard about the things that his God done. Amen. And he said, Daddy, tell me some more. Daddy, tell me just a little bit more. Amen. I want to hear. Amen. I want to hear that you wasn't even supposed to be here, but God made a way. Amen. I want to hear how he's going to make us a nation. He's really calling us to be a kingdom of priests, Daddy. I said, yes, sir, son. Can I tell you what God's going to do, Brother Jacob? He's going to raise up a nation. Amen. Can I tell you something? You know what I tell my kids? I said, are you full of the Holy Ghost? Amen. You know what I tell them? I said, because my Bible tells me that in the last days, he's going to pour out of his spirit on all flesh. Amen. And I tell them, amen, this thing is for you, son. It's for you, daughter. Amen. Can I tell you something? I tell my youth group, amen, I get a hold of them and say, are you filled with the Holy Ghost? Amen. Are you really walking with God? Amen. Don't play around with this thing. How come? Because I have heard the voice of God. Amen. My heart is fixed on him. I can tell you, amen, when he done it, done for me, amen, it really lasted in my life. And then he said, Daddy, he said, I heard the, I've got the dream, amen. His brothers wouldn't even listen, but they wanted to kill this thing. Amen. And what happened? Amen. We find out that, come on, he was enslaved. He was sold out. And he goes to Potiphar's house. Amen. Church, I'm going to tell you right now, there's been many a man and a woman of God that has started on this journey, amen, fully intend to walk with him, only to get tripped up, amen, just because their friends forsook them. There's been a lot of people that had a call of God on their life. Sister Caitlin, amen, they said, you know what, I'm going all the way, amen, but when somebody laughed at them, amen, when somebody stabbed them in the back, that was all it took, and they started, you know what, when the sand got a little hot on their feet, they'd go back to Egypt, amen. They wanted what they used to have, but when you walk away from Egypt and said, I'm through with that life, God done promised me Canaan, amen. He's done promised me something more spectacular, amen. I don't know how long it's going to take to get there. Amen. I'm going to walk through the wilderness, but I do plan on, amen, I possess in this land. I do plan on, amen, seeing my God deliver. Amen. I'm going to tell you something right now. He was sitting over there in Potiphar's house. God, can you imagine? God, you told me I had a dream. Here's how I think it went down. I don't think he ever took his eyes off that dream. Because it said when he went to Potiphar's house, I mean, here's what he did. He didn't sulk in his situation. He didn't sulk and say, God, I thought you called me to be evangelist. I don't know why I ain't got a big old RV and a one-ton Dodge by now. God, I thought for sure I was going to be just wearing them down. And I mean, Facebook Live every night and singing and shouting. And boy, every time they saw me come by, they was just going to say, man, there's a man of God. And now I find myself, amen, I'm not doing what I thought I'd do. Can I tell you right now what he did? He never took his eyes what God told him. He said, right there, he said in Genesis 39:2, and the Lord was with Joseph at Potiphar's house. And he was a prosperous man in Potiphar's house. And he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian, and his master saw that he was sitting over sulking and crying. No, he saw that the Lord was with him. Come on, I'm telling you something. You get mad, your pastor ain't letting you sing, amen, then pick you up a vacuum cleaner, amen. You get upset because your pastor ain't letting you preach yet, my God, stack a chair or two, amen. I'm going to tell you something. His master saw that the Lord was on him and that the Lord made all that he did to prosper in his hand. And Joseph found grace in his sight. But this is what Joseph did. He served him. That word serve, if you'll look it up, it means to minister. He ministered in the place he was at. Come on, they ain't bowing to him yet. Amen. They ain't bowing their head down to him yet. But where I'm at, God, amen, if I'm in science class, I'm going to be a minister somehow. Amen. God, Lord, if all I got to do is be on the playground, this is kind of above that. Y'all are a little older than that. If all I can do, amen, is just serve my pastor and weed eat the grass. Yes, I told him I wanted to preach. Amen. But all I'm doing now is the menial things, ministering the small things. My God, he served his what he did. Amen. And I'm going to tell you something else. And when he got himself in that position, he was elevated. He was elevated. Hadn't even went 16 minutes yet. Ha! We're getting there. He was elevated to the point that Potiphar didn't even know Come on, Potiphar just says, here, Jacob, here's the checkbook, here's the debit card. I just want to make sure I got supper on the table when I get home, and I want slippers on my feet, amen. I just want to make sure my wife ain't nagging about the grass, amen. So you better make sure everything's done here. It's all paid for. Just here's the checkbook, and Potiphar didn't know what he had. And Joseph could have thought right there, amen, you know what? I can just live right here. I can just prosper in Potiphar's house, amen. And you know what? And maybe he might would have, amen. Maybe he would have got his eyes off the dream, amen. But God knows what he's doing, amen. And the enemy will try to sneak in any way he can. And you know what happened next? Amen. He saw, amen, Potiphar's wife was there. And no doubt Joseph is respectful and he's going about his duties. Amen. But can I tell you, you can be doing the will of God. People, y'all hear this one. Amen. You can be in the will of God. Don't you ever let your guard down. Amen. Don't you ever let your guard down, young men. You watch what you get on the internet. Young ladies, you watch it too. Amen. Don't you be looking up things. Amen. Don't you be looking over. Amen. I'm telling you right now, if they ain't saved and filled with the Holy Ghost, you really don't need them. If you don't like that, come talk to me after church. I'll fist fight you. I don't care. I'm just going to tell you right now, if they ain't saved, baptized in the Holy Ghost, amen, then I'm telling you right now, they ain't dating material. Come on. Come on. My wife should have kicked me to the curb when I was about 15. I'm not joking. Come on. I'll tell you something. Praise God. I'm glad he helped me. But I wasn't marriage material, I guarantee that. Thank God for the grace of God, amen. But he found himself in a place, amen, where temptation was there, amen. But you know what the Bible says he did? In verse 39 and 8 it says, but he refused, amen, and said to his master's wife, behold, my master wotteth not what is with me in the house, and hath committed all that he hath to my hand except for you. Amen. God's going to let you do a lot of things, amen. But when the temptation comes by, amen, you've got to be able, amen, to serve where you're at. But also you've got to be willing to refuse what the devil offers. You see something, young people? Amen. He is going to try to do a little gift exchange. Amen. He's going to try to say, I don't care. You can be in the youth group. Amen. But you can do this on the side. Amen. And it's going to be all right. Just keep it between us. Amen. You've got to understand something. You can forfeit the anointing of God on your life. Amen. You can forfeit, amen, that blessed assurance. Amen. Don't you buy into the lie that it's okay. Refuse that thing. My God, I ain't messing with it. Amen. I'm going to tell you something. If you're not willing to refuse it, you won't be willing to do what he did next. Amen. He realized it was going to cost him that cushy little place at Potiphar's house. Amen. And when that temptress got a little closer to him, come on, some of y'all know what I'm talking about. Amen. And some of y'all may not be old enough. Amen. But I tell you something, I preach it just pretty plain. I don't get too graphic. Amen. But I have told my children, amen, there's going to come a day, amen, when they ain't got cooties no more and they look good to you. Amen. Thank God for it. Amen. But you better be covered under the blood. You need that anointing of God on your life. Amen. Because if you don't realize, pretty soon that temptress will start tempting. Or that tempter will start tempting you. And if you're not careful, it'll latch on to you. And I believe Joseph got himself, amen, maybe not wanting to, but I mean, she done grabbed his coat. And she said, you know what? He said, my goodness, this is the second coat I've got to forsake. Come on, my brother's done took my first one. He said, but I'm getting away from that mess, amen. No siree, Bob, amen. No sir, amen. And I'm going to tell you, sometimes, amen, you think, God, I'm in this place, and I'm going to do the will of God. And God, I just can't go with that, so I've run away from the temptation. And you're going to find yourself in another place, and you're saying, God, this boy went from being stabbed in the back from his brothers. Amen. Now he found himself in Potiphar's house. Amen. It took a little uptick, no doubt. Amen. But then he found himself saying, I've got to make another decision. Amen. At that juncture, amen, he had to keep his eyes not on the bumper in front of him, but he had to keep his eyes on the big picture. Young people, y'all hear me tonight. Amen. You can get distracted by what's right in front of you. Come on, some of y'all are starting to drive. Amen. Some of you are already starting, and that teacher has told you to be looking out a mile ahead of you. You know why? Because that that's where it's going to start. If you can look a mile ahead of you, you're your peripheral and everything else, and you're going to catch everything in front of you, but you've got your eyes on that deer going to jump out of you, amen, a mile ahead. You've got your eyes on the ambulance on the side of the road, and you're able to detour. My God, he had his eyes upon the prize. Brother Goodwin, he said, I don't know when it's going to happen, but I can tell you this. I know what God has told me. I know what he's promised me. I know it's not what it looks like. But Brother Jacob, I've heard it. I was in my bedroom asleep, and I dreamed and I heard, and I know God has told me this. Some of you tonight, there's somebody in here, God has got his finger on you, and he loves you. Amen. But I'm going to tell you right now, you don't quite understand the situation you're in right now. Can I tell you something from the Lord? Don't miss the big picture. Amen. Don't miss what God's got for you. It ain't what it looks like. Amen. You may think, amen, all hell's coming against you. You may think, amen, everybody's making fun of you for making a stand, and you're just thinking, amen, maybe I missed this thing. Can I tell you something? I've got a little 1 foot square of carpet in my church. I told him, I said, if we ever change the carpet, Brother Goodwin, I want that 1 foot square, because as sure as I'm standing here, that's where God called me. Amen. That's where God, amen, the Holy Ghost of heaven, on a Sunday morning, I walked in there and I looked at the pulpit and I felt the power of God come into my life. Amen. And he told me, he said, boy, he said, you're going to preach from that thing. Amen. And I scared me to death. But I tell you something, I have never took my eyes off of what God has told me. I'm telling you something, I know there's hills and valleys to get there. Amen. When we find, amen, that now it's taking him to the prison cell. It's taking him to the prison cell. He's for second. He said, nope. I'm not going to be tempted. I'm not going to allow that thing to take over me. Amen. If I have to embarrass myself. Amen. I preach it sometimes. Amen. God has made a way of escape. Have y'all seen most escape hatches? It ain't no big, beautiful door. Come on, everybody here's rode a church bus. And every one of you cantankerous boys has jimmied the escape hatch going down the road. I know y'all, amen? Come on, can I tell you something? Thank God it's there, but I really don't want to have to use it, amen? But can I tell you something? When the bus is on fire, when it's upside down and I'm bleeding, guess what, Bubba? If I have to kick my way out of that thing, if I have to knock a window out, I'm coming out, amen? I'm not going to be trapped, amen? I'm not burning up in that thing if I can help it. God, if I have any ability in me at all, let me forsake that thing. Don't let me go back to the ways of the world. Amen. I know it looks good. I know it may even be a pleasurable thing for this time in your life. But you keep your eyes on the big picture. Amen. I'm just about done. Amen. Doing the right thing, no matter. That's what Joseph did. Huh? Joseph maintained a close fellowship and trust in his God. He went to the prison house. Guess what? Wasn't very long. The warden done throwed him the keys. Hey, man, I'm playing some golf. Make sure you lock these boys up. Amen. Come on, I know you ain't going to escape. Amen. I can tell. Amen. I see you in your prison cell in there crying and talking in tongues. And I tell you, everybody else thinks you're a fanatic. Amen. But I trust you. Amen. Everybody else thinks you're goofy as a loon. Amen. But I trust you. And I'm just going to let you just, here's the keys, man. Lock up. Amen. Just make sure everything's settled down. And you know what? He was running the place. Anything that was done under his hand. Young people, find something to do. Rise to the occasion. Come on, I'm telling you something. If you think we're going to have a move of God before the day of rapture comes, guess what? It needs to start with you. Amen. You may think, amen, my God, I go home and church is dead. Amen. Then get up and liven that thing up. Amen. I've never seen God strike anybody dead for praising him. Amen. I've never seen God penalize anybody for getting a burden. Amen. I've never seen God say, nope, you're going to hell for shouting. No, sir, Bob. But I get under the anointing of God and I say, God, I want more. Amen. I want more. I want more. I'm not talking about some charismatic little shout. I'm talking about a move of God. I'm talking about something that stirs within. I'm talking about something, amen, you'll find yourself in your prayer closet speaking in tongues in the dark. Amen. I ain't talking about just getting the music going. I'm talking about God stirring us again. And I promise you, you get something like that in your heart, you'll be in a crowd and you'll do the right thing. You'll be in a crowd and walk away when it gets a little R-rated. I'm telling you. Come on. His fellowship with God was brought, was what brought him up out of the prison cell. And I'm almost, somebody come to the piano. I don't want to go too long. But I do want you to hear this. He could have went from Potiphar's house where he had, come on, he probably had cable TV and he had his iPod. And I mean, come on, he was in charge of everything. Everything was, I mean, he had it pretty plush. But he chose, no matter, that God, if I lose it all, I'm still going to maintain the right. God, if you call me to build something and everybody walks out on me, I'm going to build it anyway. I'm telling you. There's people in this house today that God has already put a dream in you, and you're going to fight hell when you build it. There's some of you in here today that's building the dream, and you're in the middle of your fighting. I'm here to tell you, you keep your eyes on the big picture because God's in it. I don't know who I'm talking to. I'm just telling you something. This is the way I preach. If I got it on my heart, guess what? It's coming out my mouth. There is somebody in here that needs to know God still got your back. Come on. Put your nail apron on and build that thing. My God, it's going to work. Amen. I don't care who says it ain't going to work. It's going to work if God's in it. Young people, you say, Lord, I would do more, but I ain't got a clue. God, I ain't got a clue of how this will ever work. I'm going to tell you something. I ain't got a preacher one in my background. And what I'm up here doing may not be good preaching. I'm going to tell you something. God talks to me. I'm going to tell you something else. I know when I've heard a voice from the Lord. And I'm just cocky and stupid and audacious enough to go ahead and look you right in the eye and tell you what God told me. I'm just that ignorant. I confided in a man one time. I said, I'm called to preach. I said, Brother Sampson, I asked him, I said, but how do you preach? Is there some type of class? Or, I mean, how do you preach? How do you get up there and how do you do all that? Come on. You're preaching, they go, how do you do that? I need to get that going on in my preaching. I don't know how. Come on. Some of you boys, God's done called you to preach, but you can't figure it out. Some of you ladies, God's called you to preach in some form or fashion, and you can't figure it out. And you're in a valley, and you know that God's calling you to do something, amen, but you're scared to death because of where you're at this moment. I'm here to tell you, don't you worry about learning how to preach, amen. Don't you worry about what you need to do is find you the darkest corner in your closet, move you some clothing out, set your tail down, amen, amen, and get a hold of the one that can let you do anything. Amen. Get a hold of that anointing. Can I tell you tonight, you ain't going to learn how to preach. Amen. But once the Holy Ghost is poured out in you, it's like a river. Amen. That comes out of you and it will help somebody. It's going to do something for somebody. Had he not maintained his stead with God in the prison house, he would have died in the prison house. You can have a calling of God and let that thing go, just die dead as a hammer because you didn't maintain your stead with God in the prison, in Potiphar's house, in the pit with no water. Amen. You've got to maintain it. Come on. One of them just said, we're waiting for the heavens to open up. My God, amen. Get on your knees and pray, amen, till you see that cloud the size of a man's head. I'm not joking you, church. You want revival? Get on your knees. My God, it'll come. Amen. And I'm going to tell you something. He was in the prison and they came to him. Come on, he's serving them bread and water. And he said, man, what's the matter with you boys? Oh, my goodness. I know I'm in prison, but man, I talked to God this morning. And they're over there. Look, they sucked on lemons. And he said, what's wrong? We dreamed a dream. And we don't know what to do about it. It's got us stirred up. He says, do not interpretations belong to God? He said, tell me the dream. I got him on speed dial. Come on.
You maintain your stead with God and you're going to have classmates calling you and asking you for advice. You maintain your stead with God. Guess what? The guys on the football team, amen, and they're going to laugh at you. But when hell breaks loose, guess who they're going to call? Look, I know I made fun of you in the hall, but I'm telling you something. I got something going on and I don't know what to do about it. I need somebody that can get a hold of God. And Joseph, just tell me the dream. My God, I just felt the anointing in my jail cell this morning. How can you have that joy? Joseph, you're in here with us. He says, boys, there's something you don't understand. Amen. I've never taken my eyes off of what God has called me to. I know I'm right here with you right now, but there's coming a day, son, that God is going to unlock the doors of this prison cell I'm in, and I'm going to step forward in this anointing that I've maintained. Amen. And I'm going to do a work for God. Amen. But until then, I'll serve you. Amen. I'm going to do what's right. Amen. And they told him the dream. I don't think for a moment he did not face discouragement. He told them the dream. One of you's going to live. Guess what? One of you's fixed to be a bird meat. Amen. And just is what it is. Come on. It was his job to tell the truth. Come on. The butler loved him. The baker just wished he'd have shut up. It'll be that way for you. There'll come a time when you can encourage somebody in the Lord. And there's going to come a time, Brother Good, when you have to, with love, tell them exactly what's going on. And say, I'm going to tell you something right now. This right here will kill you. I'm talking to Christian young people. But his walk with God is what elevated him. For two whole more years, he said, y'all, look, I'm in here not because I'm a bad person. I'm in here because I followed God, and it seemed like he allowed me to go through this. And all I have ever done was just try to obey God, and I found myself sitting here. It's like I'm in a prison cell. He said, you go tell them. You get out of here, butler, and you go tell them that I'm innocent, amen. But guess what happened, amen? They took his advice. They let him pray with him, amen. But when they got away from him, they forgot him. But Joseph, amen, note that he was discouraged, though he was wondering, God, I don't know what's going on, but I'm not going to lose the big picture. God, I feel like I'm as weak as water, but God, I know what you've called me to. Amen. Can I tell you something? I'm going to tell you something. Hell has fought Truth Camp for 3 or 4 years. Come on, Brother Goodwin. Can I give you a word? Amen. But you keep doing what God has called you to do. Amen. Nobody wants a Pentecostal church camp. But can I tell you, if we'll get behind the man of God and just come on out and have church anyway, he's going to manifest himself. That was for free. I just felt that one. Hell's fault. Come on. It's like we ain't even got a home anymore. But God said, have a church camp. You know why? Joseph didn't realize at the time. Y'all get ready to pray. I'm really wrapping this thing up. Joseph didn't realize at the time that God couldn't call Reuben. He wasn't close enough to God. Zebulun wasn't close enough. All the other wasn't close enough to God. And he says, well, Joseph, I need you. And you're going to face some things, but I know I can trust you. And through you, Joseph, I'm going to build a nation. Through you, Joseph. Come on. Is there anybody in here that realizes that where you're at may not be because of your sin? You may be in the lowliest place in your life and you think, God, what have I done? I've tried to live for you. Amen. It may not be about you. But he had to get 70-something more people over in Egypt. And he had to provide for them. Amen. And Pharaoh had a dream, and all of a sudden the butler said, oh my goodness, I know a man, amen, I know a man that can tell you your dreams. And they called him up, amen. He got a shave, he got a shower, amen, and he went from rags, amen, to riches in 24 hours, amen. And he told them the dream and says, look, y'all got to get a hold of this thing, amen. Drought's coming. And you know what Pharaoh said? He said, can I find anybody else who the Spirit of God dwells in as much as Joseph? Young people, could that be said about you and your situation? Would God look down and say,
I can use this one right here because the Spirit of God, everything that she's went through, she's maintained the Spirit of God. What does that mean? It means she got in her prayer closet when all hell was breaking loose. It means you don't get it your way. You don't blame God. You just keep on serving Him where you're at until the call comes and says, hey, I need you to preach Wednesday night at church. I need you to step up. I know I ain't ever asked you before, but I know you've been in them altars. Young ladies, you may get the phone call. Look, Sister so-and-so can't make it. I know you take your Sunday school book home, and I need you to do it because I know the Holy Ghost dwells in you. My God, if somebody will get a hold of this today, I believe somebody's going to get some help in these altars. Bow your heads with me. God, I have done my very best. God, I'm sure glad that you used the foolishness of preaching. My God, somebody in here don't understand where they're at. God, there's an adult in here. There may be a man of God in here that don't quite fully understand the reason for it all, but I know one thing. They've never taken their eyes off the big picture. Holy Ghost, right now, I pray that you'll come into this house. I know you're already here, but Lord, start to stir, Lord, and remind them of their calling. Remind them of their salvation. Remind them. And God, if there be anybody in here today that is not filled with the Holy Ghost, Father God, I pray that today would be their day. God, that today they would accept, oh God, what you're wanting to do. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Listen, I don't want to embarrass anybody, but most of us in here know most of us. And I've done made a bigger fool of myself than anybody. If y'all need to see me shout or something to get past the awkwardness, guess what? I'll do it. I'll just get all over. So all the awkwardness is over here, okay? If God is speaking to you right now, I mean really speaking to you, and you don't understand how you're feeling, but you know one thing, you have not forsaken God. I just want you to get up and come to the altar right now. Come on, I'm telling you something. I've talked to somebody. If you don't understand, I'm not saying you're sinning by any stretch. I'm saying you're trying to live for God and you don't understand where you're at. Amen. Mama, daddy, grandma, grandpa, young people. If you don't understand, I know I'm talking to a couple of older people. You want to live for God? And people's just said, you know what? Won't you sit down? You ain't holy enough. My God, I'm talking to somebody. Come on, I'm going to give you about 35 more seconds, and then we're all just going to come pray. But I'm telling you right now, can I tell you something to get your eyes back on the big picture? And if you will keep walking where you're at, you will be faithful where you're at. God is fixing to unlock the doors of heaven and promote you. I'm going to ask one more question. I've been preaching on the Holy Ghost pretty solid. I believe God has just laid it on my heart because I believe it's going to take the Holy Ghost to make it. If there's anybody in this house that has not been filled with the Holy Ghost and you are seeking it, you desire it, I want you to come to this altar. I want you to come and stand at the front. I want to pray for you. I'm going to tell you something. There's potential in this room that's unimaginable. Yes. Don't let the devil tell you you can't. Amen. I told a group of kids at a camp meeting. Amen. God laid it on my heart. I said, He's not looking for somebody who can. He's just looking for somebody who will. Yes, sir. All right, then I want everybody who will to come to these altars. Look, I know it's late. I know we're tired. But I was up till 2 in the morning trying to get this thing together. Come on, let God touch you. Let God do a work in you.